Today on Real Radio.
That's why baby Jesus was born into the world. He was born as a baby. The Bible says he came from heaven and that he would grow up and that he would live a perfect life because we can't, and that he would die on a cruel cross. It was all written in the Bible.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his special Christmas series known simply as Behold. You know, a lot of folks celebrate the Christmas holiday, but few people really truly know its significance. If you ask, let's say, 10 people what the celebration is all about, you just might get 10 different opinions. But true believers who've been blessed with a real thirst for God's written word all acknowledge its one true meaning, the guaranteed hope of all who trust in him and him alone for salvation. All this according to the scriptures. That's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs explores today in a study which is part of his Christmas series this week. It's called Behold, the Hope of God.
The Hope of God, Christmas. John chapter 1, verse 29, and it's not often looked at as a Christmas verse, but it's, in my opinion, the ultimate Christmas verse, because it's why Jesus came. If anybody were to ask you, why did Jesus come on Christmas? The answer is found in John 1, 29. There the Bible says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." That's why baby Jesus was born into the world. He was born as a baby. The Bible says he came from heaven and that he would grow up and that he would live a perfect life because we can't, and that he would die on a cruel cross. It was all written in the Bible that Jesus Christ, that little lamb that Mary had, was destined, according to the ancient Hebrew prophets, to go to the cross, but not stay at the cross. He would go to the tomb, but not stay at the tomb. Jesus Christ would be risen from the dead, and Jesus Christ tonight, as we sit here, is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And if I think if I could pick any word tonight to describe or to define Christmas, it would be that word hope tonight. And listen, it's a good word, because you know what? Hope is a gift. I want you to think about that for a moment. You can't work to earn hope. You can't buy hope. You can't ask somebody to trade you something for hope. Think about that. And what is hope? Hope is that desire on the inside for something that is larger and bigger than all of us. Hope is that thing that is promising to us, that gets us out of the mess that we might be in. Hope is that very thing that the Bible makes clear has been instilled in our hearts by God. The human heart longs for hope. In fact, tragically, when a person loses hope, they don't live very long. When a person is without hope, they don't see any reason to go on. But tonight, we want you to consider the hope of God and to behold that at this Christmas. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." Luke chapter 2. So it was that while Joseph and Mary were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And I want you to remember that tonight. Swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes or cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." At the beginning of creation, that is of the world, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Listen, church, tonight I want you to focus on our hope at this Christmas. I want you to consider what I said earlier, that baby Jesus, born in Bethlehem, exactly as the prophet said, he was laid in a manger. And it was read rightly by that young girl tonight when it says in Scripture that he was wrapped with cloths. Often we think of clothing or a blanket. We have our mind's imagination that maybe it was kind of a blanket that even glittered, that Jesus had this very awesome wrapping and he was swaddled up in a beautiful, perfect, store-bought cloth or clothing. And it wasn't at all. The word means that it was strips of cloth that perhaps Joseph and Mary had assembled together to wrap little baby Jesus up. Strips, not a perfect cloth, strips of clothing, because they were poor and they didn't have anything, and they wrapped him in what they had. And I want you to think about that, because how Jesus, listen, came into the world and was wrapped in these strips of cloth, the Bible tells us in John's Gospel, chapter 19, that when Jesus died on the cross, he was prepared to be laid in the tomb. And the Bible there uses the words that Jesus was wrapped with linen cloths, straps again. The interesting thing is they're two different words. As a baby, there were little straps of cloth that wrapped him about. But as a man, now having died on the cross, he was wrapped in larger strips of cloth. Cloth the same, straps the same. God's Son came into the world, and God's Son died on the cross, wrapped in poor linen cloth, straps as they were. And he was laid in a manger. The Bible makes it very clear that a manger is not made out of wood, a manger is made out of stone. And Jesus was laid as a little baby in those wrappings and in that stone trough that animals grazed out of, fed out of. When Jesus died on the cross, being wrapped in those strips of cloths, Jesus was also laid again in a stone tomb. As he came, and so as he went. Why? Because Christmas is all about the absolute and ultimate hope that God has sent us. Without Jesus, we have no future. Without Jesus, we have no hope. And tonight, I want you to think about this as we behold the hope of God. As we think about the hope of God, I think of my own life. Maybe it's true for you. God's hope gives me joy. And joy is a very powerful thing, because joy is a strong assurance. It is a strong reality. Because God gives us hope, we can have joy tonight. It doesn't matter, listen, how big or how fancy your presents are tonight or tomorrow. They're not going to bring you joy. You might get all excited about the things that you unwrap. But listen, it's not too long afterward. The wrappings are thrown away and that toy or that thing is scratched or it wears out or it loses interest in you. And you set it off to the side. Joy is something that Jesus Christ gives, a hope that will last forever. God brings us joy. Christmas is all about the joy of heaven. The angel announced, "I bring you tidings of great joy." Do you know Jesus Christ tonight at Christmas? Do you know that it's all about him and it's not about the tree and it's not about the lights? Those are things that remind us that it's about Christmas. It gives me joy. Jesus should bring you joy at Christmas and every day. And so if you want joy, then you're going to want to understand Christmas tonight. And then listen, God's hope makes me want to shout. And we've been doing that. People have been doing that in the parking lot, coming in here tonight, and around in the courtyard and all. People have been shouting, Merry Christmas! And that's what you want to do. Jesus Christ has come. No one can deny it. Jesus Christ has come. It can never be hidden. It is still today. In fact, coming here tonight, I was driving and I was listening to I won't give the name, but it's a famous Los Angeles talk show, two guys on there talking about Christmas and saying certain things about it. And the one guy said, well, everything's fine with me about Christmas except those people who read their Bible every day, those fanatics who go all out for Christmas. And all they want to do is talk about Jesus. Listen, without Jesus, my friend, you ain't got no Christmas. It's all about him. And I wanted to shout at my radio, hey, man, you're missing it. It's all about him. And listen, if the angels shouted at the coming of Jesus, then you know what? We can shout too. We can tell people tomorrow. In fact, I encourage you, there's enough of you in the various rooms here that are on campus tonight. Yada. Open up your door tomorrow morning and just shout, Merry Christmas to your town and to your community. You ought to just do that. People might think, listen, hey, maybe there's something to that. And there is. The next thing that I thought about is that God's hope brings me peace. The angels announced that the very message about Jesus would bring peace. Think about that, peace. Peace is a calm. Every one of us needs peace. We all need peace. The Bible, though, uses a word that is fantastic because when Jesus Christ comes into your life, he brings you, listen, not only peace in your heart, your nerves calm down, you don't worry anymore, you start to give up on worry, you begin to realize worry doesn't matter, worry doesn't do anything, God brings you peace, it's supernatural, but listen, that comes out of peace with God. When you come to believe in Jesus for who he really is, not some religious character, but a personal relationship with God Almighty, that brings peace between you and God. No more is there a division. The division of sin and the division of your own self is taken away, and you have peace between you and God, and when that's true, you have peace in your heart. And no matter what's going on in life around you, you can have peace. You don't have to worry. You can be calm. And that is a great thing, which leads to this, the true sense of excitement. God's hope makes me excited. People today want to get excited about all kinds of stuff. And you know what? I don't blame them. Maybe they haven't found what we have found, but they try to get excited about so many things. They want to get excited about this and excited about that. And you know, we'll go do things and we'll, you know, go to games or we'll go to parades, you know, or we'll go to Disneyland or we'll go to Knott's Berry Farm or whatever it is. And we get so excited. And that's great. And we should. But listen, Jesus should make us the most excited. Jesus and Christmas should make us the most passionate because of what it all means. What has happened is that God has sent his son to earth. I told you guys last week that my granddaughter went out to the nativity scene that's in our front yard and she gave a little pat on the head of baby Jesus. And she said, baby Jesus, so cute. And that's her expression. She thought of that on her own. She did that on her own. And there's a lot of people today that would like to keep Jesus as the baby. He's fine if he's just the baby. But imagine hearing about Jesus as he's growing up. Imagine Jesus as a teenager. He doesn't do the things that other teenagers might be doing. Jesus is found in the temple debating with the rulers and the teachers of Israel. Jesus growing up. And the Bible says that he grew and this great grace before God and man. And Jesus listen, the world would love to have him maybe stay as a child, or maybe they'll allow him to be a teenager. But when they think about Jesus as the Son of God, and now he's preaching and teaching, and I want you to think tonight, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunt, and uncle, I want you to think right now tonight about Jesus. He's not a baby anymore. And though you may think, well, we just need to keep him as a little child, he's not a little child anymore. Jesus taught and revealed to us the very will of God. The entire Bible, Old Testament spanning thousands of years, spoke about Jesus. The Old Testament gave us his names. The Old Testament told us what he would say, how he would live, where he'd be born, what he would express, and the miracles that he would do, exactly how he would die, when he would die. And the Bible said long in advance that it would be this Jesus who would rise from the dead. And it would be the same Jesus that would ascend back up into heaven. And listen, the Bible says it's the same Jesus who will return again someday to earth. The Bible says he's coming again. Christmas is not over. Everything, listen, everything about Christ doesn't begin and end at Christmas on this day that we have chosen to celebrate. It was the day that he came into the world to fulfill the scriptures that spoke of him. But listen, not all that he has said or what has been written has been completed. There's a lot more to the story. And the Bible tells us about heaven. Tonight, again, I was getting ready to come and I had a TV program on, and there was a man telling a story about Christmas to him, what it means. And so the reporter asked him, so what does it mean? And he said, you know, I had this experience and I thought I died. Maybe I did die. And I saw this great light. And he began describing what he saw and all of this stuff. And he began to talk about it. Never once mentioned Jesus. Never once mentioned anything about, heaven or hell, or about this or that, or anything about sin, or anything about righteousness. And he gave this wonderful story. And she asked him, are you afraid to die after what you saw? And he goes, no, not at all. And I thought to that man in a second in the TV, what is it that you experienced? Are you going to base everything on that experience? No doubt it was so very real to him. But the Bible makes it very clear that baby Jesus came into the world and then died on the cross as a man and ascended back into heaven that we might, listen, get into heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. Jesus is our entrance into heaven. And so somebody might be here tonight or listening in, and you're thinking, well, I'll just make my own way to heaven. You can't do that. Well, you can try to make your own way, but it won't get you there. There is no one on the face of the earth in humanity that has a book written of them covering their entire life and on top of it declaring that he would be none other than God himself entering into our world, Jesus Christ. For us to behold the hope of God at Christmas, it should get us excited, and it leads to this. It should lead us, listen, to eternal life. God's hope gives you and me eternal life. That's why Jesus came. Why did he have to die? When John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. How are sins forgiven? Hey kids, you know what? You know when you mess up and you get in trouble and your parents make you what? Stand in the corner, or they make you go sit in your room. There's a timeout. You got caught, you're in trouble. You got to sit quiet. Or what, you skip dessert or whatever it is? My parents just, you could imagine, all they had to do is tell me to stand still for 5 minutes. And that was like impossible. I'd rather, get my mouth washed out with soap than stand still for 5 minutes. What do you do? What happens when we do something wrong? When our moms and our dads tell us not to do something and we do it? The Bible says that's disobedience. The Bible says that's sin. Well, listen, all the way out, grandma, grandpa, great-grandma, great-grandpa. What about that in your own life, in all of our lives? What do we do? You see, to celebrate Christmas is to bring our hearts before the Lord and to say, Lord, I thank you so much that the Christmas story is that Jesus Christ has come as my Lord and Savior. Listen, Jesus came and died because we need him to save us. Jesus died perfect because we're not perfect. But Jesus died perfect as a substitute for us. Jesus, by his perfect life, died on the cross in our place to give us eternal life. That's the very reason. Did you know this? That's the reason tonight and tomorrow we exchange gifts. Did you ever stop to think about it? What's with that? Why do we wrap it up? Why do we exchange gifts? It's a symbol, it's a type, it's a picture. Jesus was wrapped up and delivered into this world to mankind. He went public when he came into this world. But that wasn't all. Jesus was wrapped up again and laid in a tomb. But Jesus, on Sunday morning, that tomb was found empty. It's called Easter morning, and Jesus had risen from the dead. Jesus was unwrapped. And the tradition is you give gifts to one another and you unwrap. It's not the gift as much as it is the symbol of what it means. God gave us his only son. He is our gift of eternal life. Because listen, someone's going to give you a gift and they're going to say, open it, open it. I want you to open it. And you're going to open it up and they're going to be looking at your face, right? They're going to be looking at you to see if you like it. It's very important to them. Why? Because they want you happy and they want you to enjoy it. And listen, that's great. On a human scale, that's what we do. But how much more for God? Imagine, what could God give you? Could it be a watch? And what do you want for Christmas? A bicycle. What do you want for Christmas? A new car. What do you want for Christmas? Clothes. What is it that you want for Christmas? Whatever it is, it won't last. It won't last. But when God turns, because he knows exactly what you want. When God turns to you, you know what? What you really want, what we really want down deep inside, we're not even aware of it often, it's what we truly need. We need forgiveness. We need to know the love of God. And God knows exactly what to give, the perfect gift. And he says, so to speak, tonight, I want you to unwrap my son. I want you to stop pushing him away from your life. I want you to publicly accept my son Jesus. I want you to unwrap Jesus and know that if you give your heart to him, his gift back to you is eternal life. That Jesus Christ will never leave you or forsake you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson that explores what the Bible says about the guaranteed hope for every true believer in the Son of God. Behold, the hope of God. That's the title of this lesson today. Behold, the hope of God. It's part of Pastor Jack's special Christmas series we're looking at this week here on Real Radio. The series is called, quite simply, Behold. On our next broadcast, Pastor Jack picks up where he left off in his series through 1 John. That's on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Behold is a Christmas series, but you can already tell that it's something that you can listen to and it can really make a big difference in your life any time of the year. It's chock full of scripture, and it takes a look at one of the most riveting chapters in the greatest story ever told, Messiah being born into the world. Now, here's our offer. We'll send you Pastor Jack's 5 DVD series called Behold for your tax-deductible contribution to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio for any amount. Just be sure that whether you call, click, or write, you ask for it by name. One simple word, Behold. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And you'll see right away where to point and click, realradioactive.org. Or if you'd like the traditional way, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Mention it by name, Behold, the 5 DVD series by Pastor Jack. Our phone number, it's easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. And of course, all this contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.